Thank you. Joining us, as usual, is University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hi, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Our special guest this morning is David Caprio, the recently elected chair of the Rhode Island Democratic Party. By way of background, Caprio is 46 and a member of one of Rhode Island's most prominent political families. An attorney and real estate investor by trade, he represented Narragansett in the State House of Representatives before being ousted in a primary in 2010. He's the brother of former state treasurer Frank Caprio and the son of Providence Municipal Court Judge Frank Caprio Sr. David, welcome. And let me ask you this. Why did you decide to seek the office of Democratic Party chair?
Well, thanks, Flo. It's great to be here. And someday, hopefully, my dad and my brother will be known as the father of and the brother of David Caprio. It's interesting to always be introduced as brother of and son of. But the reason I wanted to get back involved in government is, you know, as you mentioned, I was a state representative for 11 years, and it really gets in your blood, the ability to help people, the ability to work on the issues that are important to Rhode Island, to try to move Rhode Island forward. Really is a rewarding experience. And to get back in at the statewide level as chairman of the party provides a great opportunity to continue in that public service.
You've drawn some opposition in the past from organized labor, which is traditionally regarded as the backbone of the Democratic Party. What have you done to mend fences with them?
Well, you know, I get asked about that often, and my record with organized labor is actually a quite strong record throughout my tenure as a state representative. If I had to put a percentage on it, I'd say it was in the high 90s. Certainly, there were particular issues that did what I felt was best at the time, most notably the pension reform and my vote to reform the pension system so that it would survive, and so that people that are in the system would have a pension system to turn to, caused some attention from organized labor. But I have no problem working with organized labor. I've reached out to some of the leaders since I've been taking this position, and I look forward to working very closely with them.
How will you avoid the appearance of favoritism to your brother, Frank, who's running for his old seat as state treasurer?
Well, by my actions. You know, the process for endorsement, which is what the state committee does. You know, I'm the Democratic chair, but I preside over the state committee, and it's actually the state committee that takes a public vote to give endorsements. There's 244 members of that committee, so it will be an open process. And you know, the appearance is the appearance, but. You know, Ernie Almonte and I go way back. He's a wonderful family man. He's a very intelligent man. He has a strong record of community service also. And there's primaries up and down, potentially up and down the ticket this year. So, you know, I plan to have a very open process, and all the candidates will have a fair shake.
Democrats have an overwhelming majority in both the House and the Senate here in Rhode Island. You control the governor's office and the other four statewide offices. How do you respond to the Republican critics who say the economy in Rhode Island has not exactly thrived under Democratic leadership and that it's time for a change?
Well, the voters have spoken loud and clear in Rhode Island for some time, and they historically vote predominantly Democrats. Recently, with Governor Chafee joining the party, we now have a full house, so to speak, at the statewide level and also on the federal level. And the Democrats are working on the economy. There's no overnight fix. You know, we've had national crises in the recent years. But just in our most recent session, we developed the Massachusetts model of the four-year economic plan, regardless of who's in the governor's office. They created the position of the Secretary of Commerce, so there's better coordination among all state government agencies in promoting business. We reinstated the historic tax credit program, and they did not raise taxes or fees. They also increased investments in education. So the building blocks are there. The Democrats are leading the charge on that, and hopefully it will lead the way to a stronger economy.
David, we have an interesting gubernatorial race brewing in Rhode Island with Democratic State Treasurer Gina Raimondo weighing a run, as is Providence Mayor Angel Taveras, both Democrats. On top of that, the name Clay Pell, grandson of the late Senator Claiborne Pell, has emerged as a possible Democratic gubernatorial candidate. How does the party plan to handle what could be a primary battle royale?
It certainly could shape up to be a very interesting primary year, especially in the governor's office. Nobody's officially announced they're running yet, so everything we say is speculation. But what a credit to the Democratic Party to have three such outstanding candidates seeking to run for governor. You know, to run for the position of governor, especially in Rhode Island, where everything is very collegial and, you know, we're a small state, everybody knows everything about everybody. You're putting before the public your professional life, your personal life, your political views, and your family. And to subject to the scrutiny of the general public every aspect of your life to seek an office of governor, to seek public service, is a very difficult decision to make. Oftentimes, it causes people to shy away from doing that. We, the Democrats, are proud to have such great candidates saying they're going to seek the office, not only of governor, but up and down the ticket.
How do you think the voters will perceive Claiborne Pell, given his lack of experience in Rhode Island politics?
That's yet to be seen. I mean, my understanding is that Clay Pell is considering a run for governor. He has certainly a long road ahead if he seeks that, based on what you said. But from what I read about him, he seems to have outstanding credentials. He's a very accomplished man at such a young age. And he's going to have to tell the Rhode Island voters his story, just as Angel Tavares is telling his story every day and Gina Raimondo is telling her story every day. It certainly could be very interesting race.
You think the candidates might get to the point where they're dusting one another up and helping the Republicans?
I hope not. We hope to keep the race on the issues. They'll each have their platform and their vision of Rhode Island to present to the voters. Inevitably, sometimes it turns to comparative ads where they compare and contrast their views to the other one. Some people call those negative ads. But as my goal as the chairman is to try to ensure that we elect Democrats in November. And to do that, we need to try to remain as unified as we can be throughout the primary and, more importantly, after the primary.
That's nice to say, and if I was a Democratic state chairman, I'd be saying the exact same thing you are, David. But look, Democrats haven't elected a governor since 1992, someone running as a Democrat. And the reason, as you know, is one of the biggest reasons is going back to the Joe Walsh, Anthony Solomon primary, whether it's White House, Mirth York, and Tony Pires. Democrats love to rip each other from limb to limb in primaries, and this opens the door for Republicans. This has been the history. Have you sat down yet with the potential Democratic candidates for governor and said, look, we want to have like a Ronald Reagan 11th Amendment thing. Let's not speak ill of other Democrats. Have you reached out to these people, try to set a template, because you're rowing against the tide of history?
I've spoken to all the candidates since I've become chairman. Not so much to that detail, though, Scott. And they've all assured me that they want to, try to keep the process as clean as possible. But it's inevitable, as you say, that, you know, people want to compare and contrast their views against the other ones.
It's going to get chippy, in other words.
Again, as we sit here today, nobody has announced their candidacy for governor yet. Assuming all three do, you know, they're going to run their campaigns as they see fit. And we hope that the Rhode Island people will hopefully see through the as they cast aspersions against each other, most notably in the general election, that they'll look to the viewpoints of the Democrat that emerges from the primary and understand that it's the values and the vision for the state that the state really needs.
That's all we have time for this morning. We've been talking with Rhode Island Democratic Party Chair David Caprio. David, thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much.
And thanks to you, Maureen and Scott. We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage.